You're listening to a sermon from Church of Christ at Treaty. For more resources, check out cctreaty.org.
Romans chapter 6 is where we're going to be. We are going through Romans together. It's been fantastic for my walk with Jesus in studying this book that many people would call one of the most important books of the Bible, only because of the focus that it has on the gospel. It sort of is the gospel of the gospels. Paul's writing to the church in Rome, chapter 6, 15 to 23, where we're going to be today. I want to begin by reading it and then asking God to bless our time together, and then we'll talk through it a little bit and ask God to teach us what he would have for us today. Beginning in verse 15, Paul writes this. He says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin." Amen? "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." In verse 19, he says, "I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." Say this with me. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." Slavery in our day and in any point of history is obviously an ugly subject matter. It's not popular to talk about. But tragically, history of man includes history over and over of people enslaving other people. And I wish that we could say as human beings, we've gotten to a place where there's no longer slavery of any kind taking place on earth. But the sad truth is that some people continue to be enslaved all over the world by different people and by different things. And I would venture to say that all of us, if we talked about it, we would find it deplorable and despicable that in our history, in this nation, many great leaders had slaves, in some cases beat them, starved them, chained them, cursed them, ripped them away from their families. I think we would all agree that that's despicable, but it's the ugly truth, not just about America, but in slavery all over the world. On New Year's Day, in 1863, President Lincoln issued what we know as the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery was abolished, and former slaves that were in bondage to other masters were set free, given the opportunity to make a way for themselves to begin a new life. The power, the bondage of the slave owner was, in a sense, broken. But there was a strange thing that happened in many places. Many of the first generation of freed slaves never ever left slavery. Right up until the very end of their life, right when they died, they continued to serve their old masters, no matter how many times they were beaten, no matter how they were treated, how unfairly and cruelly their life was, they never left, even when freedom was declared. And church, this is a parallel for us, that freedom has been declared, that the fact of history is also the fact of the spiritual truth that Paul wants us to understand in Romans 6 today. We know that I've been crucified with Christ, that I no longer live the life that I used to live, enslaved in bondage to sin. We are free, amen? We are free. I think of the great movie where he yells at the end when he's about to die, if you've ever seen it, Braveheart, and he yells freedom, right? Even in his death, he is no longer a slave. We are no longer slaves to sin, but the sad reality, church, is that many Christians don't know it because we don't live it. We're still living in bondage, enslaved to the master of sin. And there's no greater joy for Satan, for the devil, for the enemy, for the princes of darkness, than for us to stay in bondage to who we used to be. And we don't live like who you say I am. I love the words of that song, that we have been bought back. I am who Jesus says I am. I am no longer who Satan thinks I am. I have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? But Satan wants nothing more than for you to stay discouraged in your new life in Jesus. He wants nothing more than for you to stay defeated in your new life in Christ. He wants nothing more than you to be ignorant, to not even understand that you have been freed. It's in this way that the enemy wins in our lives, when we stay in our sin enslaved. Paul wants us to know that we've been emancipated, amen? That we can enjoy freedom from the bondage of sin in our daily lives. And we don't have to live there until we die and then move on. We are freed now. That we can leave, that the power of sin and darkness in our lives is broken, and we don't have to stay there even now. We have the hope of heaven and life eternal with Jesus, but we can have it right now. That's why Paul says at the beginning of this text, what then? Should we sin just because we're not under the law, but we're under grace? He's saying, should we just go ahead and keep sinning because that's what we know, knowing that God's grace is going to be there? And he says, no way. Don't you know in verse 16 that when you give yourselves, offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are a slave of the one that you obey, whether you're a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you've come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching now claimed to your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. Amen. When we offer ourselves to someone or something, we become a bondservant. We become a slave of the thing that we give ourselves to. I've been trying to explain that to my wife, that when I gave myself to her in marriage, that I became her slave. Amen. We'll cut that part out. Paul reminds us that we are all confronted with a choice. You and I, we have a choice of which master we are going to serve. It's your choice. I can't make you choose Jesus. I can't make you stay stuck in your sin. It's your choice. We will serve sin or we will serve obedience. Before we come to Jesus, we live in sin. We are a slave to sin. We live according to the lusts of our heart. Sin is our master and we obey it. Everything it asks us to do, we do it. But the good news is we've been set free in Christ. That we come to Jesus and we become slaves to righteousness, to obedience and holiness. Our obedience from our heart brings about a new birth, that now we can live and reside in the kingdom of God. We don't have to live in the kingdom of sin. I read about a 1970s preacher whose name was Ray Stedman. He talks about during the Jesus People movement in Los Angeles, there was sort of this cult-like movement of Jesus freaks, I guess you could say. But he one time was at this rally and he saw this guy who had a big poster board attached to his front and his back. And he recalls seeing this guy that had a poster that on the front of him, it said, "I am a slave for Jesus." And on the back it said, "Who's slave are you?" And there's a lot of truth to that. That when we come into the kingdom, when we accept Christ as king, when we accept the blood of Jesus as atonement for our sins, we become slaves to Jesus, slaves to righteousness. I wish I could say, I just can't help it. I always do what Jesus wants because that's my master, right? I just can't help it. I always do good. I always obey because that's just who I am, right? Wouldn't that be fun? But we feel like Paul sometimes, and we say, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. I feel like I'm so torn in this world. And that's the tension that we live in. But church, listen, we can be slaves to the kingdom of God. We don't have to live in bondage of sin anymore. Paul goes on and he says, I'm using an example. Paul was using about slavery from everyday life because he knows that our minds are limited. He says, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, he says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. When you're a slave to sin, you don't have to do the right thing. Seems like a much easier road, doesn't it? What benefit did you reap, though, he says, at that time, from things that you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin, you've become slaves to God. The benefit that you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. What we get from the way that we live in the kingdom of darkness is death. But the gift of God, the gift, we didn't earn it, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who wants life today? You've been set free. The Bible declared that. Jesus declared it thousands of years ago on the cross. It is finished. Victory in Jesus. It's yours right now. You don't have to live on the plantation with sin as your master for the rest of your life. That's good news. Paul uses that imagery of slavery, and our relationship with God isn't meant to be slavery in the sense that we're humiliated and we're degraded and we don't have value, but Paul's using it so that we can understand the other aspects of slavery that ring true to us spiritually. When we were slaves to sin, our sin got worse, and we sinned more, and we did worse things. We would dive deeper and deeper into sin. One lie leads to lots of lies, right? The white lie becomes the lie that you have to keep lying about so that you can keep it up and people can believe it. One drink leads to a bunch of other drinks. One view of pornography leads to an affair. That's what happens when we live in the kingdom of sin. I'm tired of living there, amen? I'm tired of trying to fake it through life and make bad decision after bad decision. But thanks be to God, Paul says that we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. Paul encourages us to be a slave to righteousness, to throw ourselves more and more into righteousness, which leads us to sanctification, which is basically a fancy word for saying that we become more and more like Jesus. Paul compares in this text and contrasts what sin pays versus what God pays. He says that sin leads to slavery of great sin. Sin leads to shame from Genesis, right? All the way to 2020. It leads to shame. And sin pays us death. Not just death literally in this life, but spiritual death, where we become destroyed by the grip of sin in our lives. But God promises through his gift to pay us into sanctification, into holiness, to being more like Jesus on this side of heaven, and then spending forever with Jesus in heaven because of the gift of eternal life. The fruit of serving God outweighs the wages of our sin. It leads us to eternal life. It leads us to life now. It leads us to abundant life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life, and life abundantly, life overflowing. We don't have to live with the glass half full or the glass half empty. We can live with an overflowing well of water, of living water in our lives. But so many of us live like we're still slaves to sin. There's nothing bad. There's no guilty conscience. There's nothing that we have to have remorse about when we find our life in Jesus, because we know we've been bought, that our sin is no longer held against us. We've been acquitted. We've been emancipated. What God has done is both positional, meaning it elevates our position of what God did for us, but it's also practical. There are some things that we have to do when we become slaves to righteousness. The two positional truths that we need to understand is that, first off, we are dead to our sin. Stop defining yourself by the sins and your past, because that is not who you are in Christ. Jesus doesn't say, that's the person that used to struggle with this, but I rescued them and now they're better. Jesus says that his blood washes us white as snow. That there is nothing that separates us from the sin or from the love of God. There is no sin, no height, no depth. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. Nothing in your past that he's going to just bring up like we often do in our relationships. I love you, but I don't trust you because of what you've done. Jesus says, I bought you back fully and completely. That's your position. You are dead to sin. That's not who you are. You are not a recovering sinner. You are a redeemed child of God. That is very different. Secondly, we're united with Jesus in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. We too will die, be buried, and raised and resurrected into new life in Christ. These two truths are important for us to understand. If you follow Jesus, if you've given your life to him, you are dead to sin and united with Jesus. This isn't a feeling. This isn't a hope. This isn't something we try to achieve. It's the truth of who you are, because it's who God says you are. God's intention is for us that sin would no longer have mastery over us, that we would have brand new life, that we would bring forth fruit for God. His intention is that we would have brand new life, completely different from the life that we once lived. God's done everything that we need. God's done everything that we need for us to be able to walk in victory. But our part is to believe in the word of God that what he did is true and that what he promised will happen. And we have to stop giving ourselves to sin and give ourselves to God. We can either serve God or we can serve sin, but we cannot serve both. We cannot be slaves to both. And that's the question that I would ask you today, like the man who had the poster on that said, I am a slave of Jesus. Who are you a slave to? Because we either serve sin or we serve the one who bought us back from sin. I love, it's cheesy, but I like, you know, the analogy where you can't, you know, there's like the God side and there's the devil side and then there's a fence, right? And we like, oh, I'm kind of on the fence. But I like the idea and the analogy that the devil owns the fence, right? You can't serve both God and mammon, Scripture says, which is another God that they worshiped at that time. You either serve the Lord, the risen King, or you serve the Prince of Darkness. Famous poetic songwriter Bob Dylan wrote these words down, and I just sometimes think it's interesting to see what people say, but the song Gotta Serve Somebody, if you've ever heard this song, he says you might be an ambassador to England or France, you might like to gamble, you might like to dance, you might be a heavyweight champion of the world. What's he talking about? Who we are, right? Our power and what we've done. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. He says, well, it might be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You might be a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. You might, he talks about have drugs. You might be a businessman. You might have a high degree. You might be a doctor or a chief, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And he says, you might be the devil and it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Listen, church, lost people and saved people, you will serve somebody. And it will either be Jesus or it will be the Prince of Darkness himself. And that's the devil. But you will serve somebody. It's not a matter of are you going to serve. It's a matter of who are you serving. We are worshipers. That's how we were made. We worship. We will either worship at the altar of success, or we will worship at the altar of business, or whatever it is, fill in the blanks, but you will either worship the devil or you will worship the risen Jesus. And if you don't choose God, you chose the devil. And so my hope and my prayer as we're going through this book together is that you would choose to follow Jesus, to find life in Christ that leads to freedom and righteousness and abundant life and eternal life. Choosing sin leads us to slavery and depravity and death. But Jesus said, I have come that you would have life. And I hope that that message never gets old, because I keep wanting to come back where I know what to expect, that I know if I let people down, I know what that feels like. I know what the consequence is. In some ways, it feels safer to stay over here. Even though Jesus broke the chains of bondage, even though he broke the power of sin, I just don't feel like I can be over here. But listen, we can't stay here. We can't stay here. When Jesus came, that we would have life. I was talking to a friend of mine just the other day. He was talking about, you know, I was making all these good choices. I was doing the right thing. But man, the devil came hard. Anyone feel like that? 2020, the devil's coming hard. And in 2021, the devil's gonna come hard. And we can sit here and say, well, I messed up again. I guess I'll just stay a slave to sin. But thanks be to God, Paul says, that though we once were slaves to sin, now we can find life in Jesus. Now we can find our life in Jesus. That we're not perfect. We don't have everything figured out. We don't have it all together. If you feel like you're a wreck, welcome to our family. We've been set free by Jesus, and the tendency is for us to stay here. But church, we're not going to stay here anymore. We're going to find our life in Christ, and we're going to chase him. And when we make mistakes, we're going to go to him because he loves us. And he doesn't see us as recovering sinners. He sees us as redeemed children. We are redeemed children of God, amen? And I said this last week. Let's live like it. We know who we are. Let's act like it. We can hold our head up high. We can walk with good posture and confidence, knowing that darkness and the enemy is going to come strong. But greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. Not greater am I than anyone in the world. Greater is the one who resides in my heart. And you can have that same power through the Holy Spirit today. Choose Jesus. Choose life. Find freedom from the bondage of sin in Christ Jesus today. Don't be a slave to sin. I beg you, choose Christ. And when you are a redeemed child of God, then live and act like it.